All right, we're in Building 37, which is a smashing new building. Who are you? What's going on?
Yeah, my name is Bruce Burns, and I'm a new group program manager in the Windows Core Operating System Division.
All right, congratulations.
Cool. Thank you. This is my very first day, just accepted the job and working with the ISV ecosystem to make sure they run with high quality and compatibility on Windows.
Cool, so you used to be in DPE, because we've had you before.
7 years of DPE, and before that, 6 years in the developer relations group, always working with ISVs, helping them get ready for new platforms.
Right on.
Cool, a real job in Windows. Hi, my name is Gary Sherman, in the Windows Product Management Group. Mm-hmm. We look after the Windows ecosystem, make sure that we have lots of partners out there building software and hardware that's compatible with Windows and takes advantage of the new innovations that we do.
Excellent. So part of what prompted this discussion is my father was going to buy a new laptop, and he called me, of course, because his old laptop died on him. It's an old 32-bit XP SV2. Computer was about 4 years old. And so he called me, and he was at, I don't know where he bought it, but he was thinking, should I get 64-bit? There's all these 64-bit laptops, or should I get a 32-bit machine? And he understood. I explained to him the thing I usually would tell a consumer, you have more memory. 32-bit operating system, you can only use 3.5 gigs or 3 gigs max in memory. Let's talk about that. So if your father or my father or somebody who's not super technical, why should I get a 64-bit Vista machine? Why?
Yeah. For a long time, it wasn't even a consideration for most consumers. Basically, 64-bit was something super enthusiasts did, high-end gaming rigs, maybe scientific applications, and of course on the server, right? 64-bit's been on the server for a while. But on the desktop, it wasn't a big deal. But then what happened is memory got super cheap. I mean, a year ago, I don't know what a gig of memory cost a year ago, but now it's like less than $50 for a gig. So now all the PC makers are saying, hey, we can load up these machines with memory so you can do more, which means they hit the 4-gig limit, and lo and behold, got to go to 64-bit. Mm-hmm. And so that's what's out there. And what's cool is that so many people in the ecosystem, whether it's building hardware products or software, have already been kind of paying attention because they're the enthusiasts. Mm-hmm. And so we had pretty good story for compatibility coming in, but now it's taken off, and now everyone's really got to take a look.
So Bruce was telling me the other day, you were telling me that all of a sudden there seems to be this large wave of people buying and using Windows Vista 64.
That's right.
Why?
A couple things. On the server side, as Gary just said, we've had success with 64-bit computing because those server apps have needed the memory. Mm-hmm. On the client side now, what we're seeing is some of the major apps are now going to support 64-bit, like Adobe Photoshop. So that's helping. So people who need a lot of memory can now use that memory on Windows 64-bit platforms. So that's the applications and the platform. They have to bootstrap each other. And what's happening on the client side is we're getting that critical mass where the apps are starting to come, and the memory's cheap, and it's there, and so we're there where 64-bit computing is becoming pervasive.
Excellent. And so for somebody who, let's be honest, my father, what does he do on his computer? He sends me emails asking me technical questions all the time, and he will do photo editing and whatever else he does. It's not super high-end, I need to crunch the processor, and I need a lot of runtime memory. So, let's talk about what this means, say, for Windows, right? If we know that everyone's running 64-bit, that gives us the ability to eat more memory and do more interesting things. Yes?
Yeah. I mean, really, a couple months ago, the standard on a PC was 2 gigs of memory. And for Windows Vista, that's plenty of memory to do basic functions. As soon as you start loading up a bunch of apps, now you start page swapping and your responsiveness of the system is going to suffer. If adding a little memory is cheap, well, also you can get some performance gains for hardly spending any additional money, and now you're able to take advantage of 4 gigs of memory, 6 gigs, 8 gigs. And in fact, I've got here a catalog. This is the Best Buy Sunday catalog. Comes in basically every Sunday paper around the country. Uh-huh. And on the back, they've got 3 laptops ranging in price from a high of about $799, low of sub 700. Mm-hmm. All 3 of these machines, 4 gigs of memory, 64-bit Windows Vista.
Nice.
A couple of months ago, you never would have seen this. So now people can get a machine for real cheap that's 64-bit and start to use that memory.
Cool. Now, Bruce, if somebody... let's say they go out and buy one of these systems, and they have a bunch of applications in, shrink wrap or whatever on DVDs that are 32-bit. What will they just work?
Most applications work in 32-bit mode on a 64-bit machine. Mm-hmm. If they have the certified for Windows Vista logo, they for sure work, because that's one of the requirements. That it runs in at least 32-bit mode. Mm-hmm. Now, some applications require a device driver, say security applications, which would have a kernel mode device driver. Those device drivers need to be 64-bit. And again, if they have the logo, any security app with the Windows Vista logo, it will work in that configuration.
Okay.
The other thing I'll say also is that, you know, it used to be that buying 64-bit or buying 32-bit hardware was kind of a decision, and now it's almost impossible to buy anything but 64-bit hardware. So now it's a decision, do you buy a 32-bit operating system or 64-bit operating system for your 64-bit hardware? Mm-hmm. And now that's becoming, you know, more and more prevalent to be 64-bit as well. In a year from now, I'm making the prediction that it's all going to be 64-bit operating system. And if I were to go out to buy a new machine today, I would never buy a 32-bit version of the operating system, because 64-bit is here now.
Interesting. So why aren't OEMs just by default selling 64-bit Windows Vista? It's been out, it came out when Win32 version came out.
They're offering choice. They're supporting both 32-bit and 64-bit. Mm-hmm. And certainly on the server side, it's sure. predominantly 64-bit. What we're seeing is that wave now coming over to the client side. Uh-huh. So 64-bit, it's coming, and it's coming fast now.
Cool. So, I mean, what does this really mean for... Now, on Channel 9, just a little history, we had Kang Soo Gaitlin from the C++ team dug in about what people have to do to modify their drivers, go from 32-bit to 64-bit. So we've done deep dives on Channel 9 okay. around the difference between 32-bit and 64-bit. But now it's really happening. So developers are going to have to step back and think about, hey, I might have to modify my app to run on a platform that most people are going to start using. What kind of complexities do you see out there?
So there's a couple of things that developers need to think about. And for today, we're very focused on the software side of the house. Number one is make sure that the 32-bit app works. As Bruce said, we have this compatibility layer. It's called WoW64. And you need to make sure that your app works. A lot of ISVs I've talked to said, geez, I never tested that. And so they're probably going to get lucky, and it just works, and works just fine. But we want them to take a look at it. Number two is we want to make sure that the status in our compatibility database, which is called the Windows Vista Compatibility Center, mm-hmm. is accurate. If you look up there today for software, there's a lot of apps that are listed as compatible. There's a lot of apps listed as status unknown, because when we go out to the vendors' websites, there's no statement of support for 64-bit, even if it's going to work. So it's super important that they do some testing and then put up a status or send us feedback via the compatibility center mm-hmm. and let us know so that we can get an accurate status. So when consumers go out to buy the machine, they say, oh, I can pick this software app from this vendor because it's listed as compatible.
Excellent. Now, the Windows Vista Compatibility Center, I sort of remember talking to you about
Absolutely.
That not too long ago.
Its predecessor was Apps Readiness, and we uh-huh. did a C9 section on Apps Readiness site uh-huh. about a year ago, I believe.
So has it been useful? I mean, what's going on?
It has been useful. We get a lot of traffic on it, and we've taken that site now and moved it over to the Compatibility Center. Mm-hmm. So it's on Microsoft Domain, and it has a lot more TLC to the site, mm-hmm. and we've beefed that thing up now. So it's our way of being able to tell our customers about our partners' applications mm-hmm. that support Windows Vista. Mm-hmm. So if you are an ISV, I highly encourage you to go to the site, look at your application, or submit information about your app so we can tell our customers about your applications.
Cool. So part of what we're trying to do here in this being sort of the first part of this small series we're doing, is really something that we're thinking about, what the hell's going on with Windows Vista, right? When you read the news, it's... You know, clearly, perception is reality, and that's the unfortunate business truth.
Yeah.
Windows Vista is a solid operating system. We've covered it in depth on Channel 9 for those who really want to know the gory details. But what I'm trying to do, what we're trying to do on Channel 9 is, what's going on, right? So this one is, people are using Windows 64, right? More so yeah. than we expected. Does the press realize this? I mean, what's going on? Let's talk about perception.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of 64-bit, in some sense, it was like the best kept secret out there. I was shocked that none of the mainstream PC press had walked into a Best Buy or Circuit City or even Costco, mm-hmm. where the product lines had flipped to 64-bit, and no one seemed to notice. And I talked to a software developer who hadn't noticed, and I said, hey, you know, some of your customers are probably running 64-bit now. I says, well, if they do, I'm going to tell them to return it and get a 32-bit, because it's not our focus. I said, that's no longer an option, because now that memory is so cheap, you know, the product lines from Dell, HP, Gateway, Sony, everyone are really flipping to 64-bit. Mm-hmm. Now's the time to get ready. And he stood up and took notice. He actually went to a local Best Buy in his town and said, wow, they really are there. And so now's the time to really put the focus in on making your stuff work with 64-bit. Again, mm-hmm. many ISVs get a free ride because mm-hmm. of compatibility. And take a look and see, is there an opportunity to deliver better performance, better experiences by taking advantage of that memory with a 64-bit optimized app. Compile it for 64-bit instead of just compiling for 32-bit and letting it run in the WoW 64 layer.
And in some cases, it's as simple as just recompiling your app with a switch on it. It's a C++ app, for example.
Exactly. So again, compatibility should come for free for most vendors. Mm-hmm. Going native could be as simple as a recompile.
And the other thing I'll say about that, Charles, is I think people largely know what to do. Our first design preview on 64-bit was 10 and a half years ago. Mm-hmm. So we've been working with the ISV community for over 10 years now on 64-bit, and certainly on the server side, we have it well covered. On the client side, with Adobe announcing support for 64-bit and other large manufacturers mm-hmm. going native 64, I think that's the new news, is the big applications are coming 64-bit. Okay. So I think all developers, it's time to do it on the client side too.
Now, one of the things I've noticed is I don't believe that, and I'm not trying to do, you know, competitor competition crap because I'm not really in marketing or whatever. So, but I haven't noticed that Apple actually has a 64-bit operating system. So I could imagine running Adobe Movie, you know, Photoshop or, you know, maybe Premiere on a 64-bit client with 8 gigs of RAM would be a rather good experience for developers. So companies like Adobe and other, you know, I should have probably said Brand X, but whatever. We work with them to say, hey, you know, write a 64-bit version of this
Absolutely.
Movie. Premiere would be a perfect example.
Yeah, Premiere is built on the Photoshop engine as well. So what I'll say is that we will have Photoshop support on 64-bit before Apple Macintosh has 64-bit support. Now, their new Cocoa 64-bit environment is out there, but applications that are already written have to change over to Cocoa, so Photoshop would have to totally rewrite. Uh-huh. That's why it's very easy to go from 132 to 164. It's not that major rewrite. Mm-hmm. That's why applications are coming over to 64-bit on our platform first.
Excellent.
But let's just be careful one thing, because Charles, you said something that I don't want us to mislead people. Mm-hmm. Apple has a 64-bit operating system.
Absolutely.
But writing a native 64-bit app on that operating system appears to be quite a bit more work mm-hmm. than writing a native 64-bit app on Windows. And it's fairly well documented. Mm-hmm. And Adobe has actually documented it, which is why they're taking Photoshop and Lightroom native on Windows 64-bit first, because they have to do a lot more work on the Mac. But mm-hmm. the platform is there if they ever decide they want to go do that work.
Cool. Yeah, I was given that information. I was talking to a developer friend of mine. He was like, you know, Apple doesn't really have a 64-bit OS, so I wanted to kind of put that out there. One of the things I would ask, though, when you think about what developers are thinking about today in terms of the not-so-distant future, is ManyCore. And that's not coming for free unless we do some radical work from the operating system to the programming layer, which we are doing some interesting things. Why haven't developers been sort of more trained to get ready for 64-bit? Why would any ISV say, hey, you know, we don't support that, or we're not? I mean, 64-bit's the future of the hardware configuration. 128-bit's coming down at some point. It's a hardware change like ManyCore. Developers are really thinking about ManyCore right now because it's hard to write multi-threaded apps. Let's talk about why. Is this a surprise? I mean, come on. Devs should be ready for this.
Yeah, you know, we actually talked about that a week or two ago, and we were wondering, like, you know, are developers going to be mad at us for coming out now and saying, hey, you know what, the, you know, 20% of the new Vista systems in June were running Vista 64-bit. And, like, why didn't you tell us that was coming a couple of months ago? And to some degree, we didn't know. No one knew memory was going to get this cheap this fast. Just like a year ago, nobody knew gas was going to be $4.50 a gallon and ridership on Amtrak and Metro buses were going to go up so much. But it did happen. And then we talked about it. I said, you know what, even if we had thought it was going to happen and could foreshadow it, I don't think developers would believe us, because the there's this glacial growth, if you want to call it growth, of 64-bit on the client. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't happening, so they just didn't need to pay attention. But the marketplace changed, right? The memory got cheap. The PC makers decided, to your multi-core point, it's a lot easier to explain 2 gigs versus 4 gigs versus 6 gigs of RAM increasing your performance mm-hmm. versus slower clock speeds with multi-cores where each core is offering some different functionality. Mm-hmm. A lot harder to explain to a consumer, you know, what to buy.
Sure.
And so, you know, it's pretty easy to say, go, you know, that machine's got 2 gigs, that machine's got 4 gigs of RAM, 4 gigs is going to be better, mm-hmm. just buy it. And consumers seem to be doing it. So now is the time for developers to make sure their stuff works so that consumers have a great experience.
Cool. Now, is there a maximum amount of RAM that is useful for 64-bit?
There is a maximum amount, but it's a rather arbitrary number. It's so large.
Okay.
So it's, you know, it's practically unlimited at this point. What I will say, though, is I'm happy to do this interview now on Channel 9 because going back to Gary's point, we've had the opportunity to tell you, hey, this thing's taking off, and it's something that you should take a look at as a developer to ensure that your applications are ready. So when customers call, it doesn't turn into a support call. Rather, it turns into a sales call.
Cool. And then we have tools and stuff to help them along, right?
Yeah, we've got we put up a new page on the Windows website to kind of point people to the tools. For the hardware guys, the Windows I want to make sure I get it right. Windows Hardware Developer Central, I believe, is the name of the site. Mm-hmm. Sort of the hardware side of MSDN. And then, of course, the MSDN site has a lot of information for 64-bit development. So everything from compatibility, understanding the WoW 64 layer, all the way to what tools are available to write and compile a native 64-bit app. And so it's all up there.
Great. All right. So, you know, let's one more time. Talk to developers.
64-bit, it's coming this summer. This is the summer of 64-bit.
Yeah, we should all go and ride it. I tell you, I went out and bought a machine for my kids. Mostly, I have to say, because I wanted to see what the experience was like, not because I wanted to buy them a new computer, though they're certainly excited to have it.
Sure.
And I bought a PC. It was a Gateway, and I bought it at Best Buy. 64-bit, 4 gigs of RAM, triple-core processor, 19-inch high-def monitor, and a printer. $699 for the whole package. And they're loving it. I mean, everything they've put on it so far has worked.
Uh-huh.
And so they're just finding it super fast. And, of course, my wife's mad at me because they're spending more time on the computer than they are outside playing in the sun, which we don't get too much of in Seattle.
Exactly.
This is the time of year we want them outside. But it's been an amazingly positive experience. Up until that point, I wasn't sure I could recommend 64-bit to the average consumer because I just wasn't sure what it would be like, but it works good. And pretty much any software we put on that is 32-bit software, working great on 64-bit.
Excellent. Well, hey, thanks for your time. I know you're busy.
Thanks, Charles.
Thank you.
And congratulations again, Bruce. That's great.
Yeah, congrats on the new job.
Yep, appreciate it. Thank you.
Right. Cheers.